I'm David Schreiner Khan, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep us stuck. Would you like to learn how you can generate more leads without struggling to deliver your services to the clients you already have? What if you were taught how to step out of your comfort zone to leverage tools like podcasts, social media, and video in order to constantly bring in leads, sales, and keep your pipeline full? And what if you knew how to hire the right talent that'll help you scale your business and create greater value without being so hands-on? Join our free Smashing the Plateau community, where listeners and guests of Smashing the Plateau connect, collaborate, and learn how to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Michelle DeAngelis. Michelle is an interim executive leader, management consultant, and executive coach. She has 25 years of experience delivering results and creating peak performers for companies ranging from Fortune 500 to startups, so she understands the business landscape large and small. Michelle is known for running large-scale consulting engagements, conducting rigorous corporate coaching, leading complex projects, and providing seasoned interim executive leadership. Michelle's work as an on-demand leader heavily informs her coaching and vice versa. She's operated in over a dozen interim leader roles, such as COO, Chief of Staff, VP of Sales, Marketing, Partnerships, and Executive Leadership Team Member. Michelle has worked with Red Bull, Wells Fargo, YP.com, among others. She's also the author of Get a Life That Doesn't Suck. Michelle, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thank you, David. Great to be here.
Michelle, in your book, you write about the gap between what you think and what you do. How does that gap impact us?
Well, I stumbled across this concept of the gap about 10 years ago, and I was thick in my executive coaching career and, of course, doing consulting, and I'd noticed it before, but I hadn't really put a name to it, that this difference between what we think and what we do, you know, what we say and what we actually live up to is... It's this terrible place to live. So it's the place where disappointment and little white lies and the gray zone and all that is. And so the gap impacts us because we should know when we're living in it and how to get out of it.
Right. So what are some examples or stories of people that are really mired in this gap?
Well, of course, you know, I could make a joke and say, how much time do we have? But what I would say is it could be as simple as when you go to bed, you know, on any given night, you say, I'm going to get up, I'm going to go to the gym, run those 3 miles, whatever it is, and you sleep in, that's your gap. When you promise you're going to take your kids to the zoo and you don't, that's a gap. When you say to your boss, I will absolutely have those reports on your desk by 5 o'clock, and you do it by 6:30, that's a gap. And so, I mean, I have endless examples, of course. And we all, I realize, you know, none of us is perfect. And we all have, you know, times when we can't quite live up to either the things that we are saying to ourselves or the things we're saying to others. But the whole concept of being out of sync, you know, of saying one thing and doing another is terrible because it's directly related to the level of joy and happiness and self-content that you can have in your life. Very few people understand the connection between being true to yourself and being happy with yourself. And that's why the gap is a big deal.
Now, is there a difference between what you tell yourself versus what you tell other people and what your actions actually say about that gap?
Well, I would say my first answer is no, because either way, you know, you're not keeping a promise. And in some ways, it's worse to not be able to keep a promise to yourself. I mean, my God, you know, who are you kidding? But what I would say is living in your gap is what creates self-doubt, conflict, anxiety, insecurity. You know, you're loaded with good intentions, but you just can't follow through. That's one thing. That's, you know, disappointment in oneself. But the kicker is doing it to other people, because they soon learn to not take you at your word. They soon learn that you're not that reliable and that they can't count on you. And, you know, that there's always a hedge that they need to take into consideration when they're dealing with you. And that, so they're not confident in you, and that, you know, if they're not, how can you be confident in you? Because you're just not doing what you say. Now, I will say, this all sounds very, you know, grim and difficult and dark and all that. And it's in my book, I created a quiz to help people understand if they're in their gap or not. And if they are, then where? So that they could work on getting out of it. Because we all have blind spots. And you know, you may not realize that you've rescheduled lunch with your mother-in-law 3 times, but she realizes it and she feels that, and that has some sort of, you know, impact. And so it's not that I'm trying to point out that we're bad people, because it's not that. I know we're all doing the best that we can. It's that the gap is an obstacle to day-to-day joy in your life. And so why not understand it? Why not look into it? Why not understand how to narrow your gap, even close your gap in a few areas, and start being amazed at how reliable you are, how in sync you are, how in flow things are, how there's less conflict, and how your joy is more obvious in your day-to-day life.
Now, in my introduction, I described how you work with some very big companies and also mm-hmm. some smaller ones. How does this play out in a business atmosphere?
Yeah, well, I learned the hard way. I couldn't, you know, walk in the door and start talking about joy, because people would, their eyes would glaze over, and, you know, they'd be looking for the unicorns and the pixie dust they thought I was referring to. So I have to build the trust of the people that I'm working with in a large organization before I can tie all of this back to individual joy. What I will say is, there's several things. What I will say is, joy has been proven to be a contributor to creativity, productivity, possibility thinking, things that are, you know, attributes that corporate America wants to see. So often, the corporate equivalent is talking about engagement, or levels of collaboration, or level of employee retention, and or client retention in some cases. So there are synonyms in corporate America that equal joy. So the way it plays out is, wow, what if I'm asked to work with someone who's on the leadership team of a very large organization, which I've been asked to do several times, and they are looking for her to be a more comprehensive, aware leader. They want a leader who's willing to have difficult conversations, who's willing to, you know, address accountability and also support, you know, her employees, in this case, to a better end for the company itself. I mean, for the employee, for her boss, for the division, for the company. So it shows up in ways that you might not expect. I mean, how often, other than not often enough, David, do we have conversations about having great leaders inside of corporate America? It's usually just, you know, I'm busy, I don't have time, I'm getting by, you know, the house is not on fire, let's, you know, deal with the next earnings report.
Leave me alone.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, or the even worse, the equivalent, right? The door shut, the unavailability, things like that. And so what I, so the way that gap and joy and all of these topics translate to corporate America is actually in a very profound way. And the ROI on coaching and increasing awareness and emotional intelligence and all these things, it's double digit. I mean, in some cases, it's as high as 50 or 60% ROI on coaching and consulting on these topics because there's so much room for improvement. And I say that not out of disparagement, but I think we all have the story of the terrible boss. And, you know, my mission in life is to equip anyone who's having a hard time being a good leader, equip them to be a great leader, be the boss that people want to kill to work for, because there's so much opportunity. It's so creative and it's actually fun. Fun. Like, who knew?
Right. So if you're feeling, you're feeling the gap that you've described, you're feeling that you are promising yourself or promising others, maybe little things and maybe bigger things that just you're not following through on, where do you start? Where do you start? Mm-hmm. If you know you have a problem and you've got to address it, how do you clean up your act?
Yeah, it's great. I have a couple of different answers depending on the situation. So the first is, if you're just unhappy in life and you're the person who's always complaining, then you can certainly take my joy quotient quiz, sure. But ask a trusted loved one if they could have you do one thing that would have you show up happier, what would that be? And there's a famous guy, I can't remember his name right this second, but he went on the no complaining diet for 30 days. This was a few years ago. And everybody around him was marveling at how he seemed so different and how they were actually drawn to him, because he wasn't being Pollyanna. He just wasn't complaining. So you can ask someone, a trusted loved one, you know, who's not going to use it against you. You can think about when you can notice when you feel particularly dissatisfied with yourself, disappointed in yourself, or unhappy. You can also notice when you're lacking in confidence, because you're probably having some inner chatter that's lessening your confidence. So I would say notice when you feel bad or ask someone for help, but don't ask some open-ended random question. Ask, what is one thing that you recommend I do to, you know, show up happier or show up more positive or whatever you're trying to accomplish. And sometimes it may sound so trivial or dumb or like the stop complaining thing, but I did this with my daughter when she was in college. She used to call me to complain. And I finally, on the third phone call, I'm like, this is not 1-800-COMPLAIN. I'm happy to listen if I need to listen to something, but there's got to be like a solution in there somewhere. It can't just be whining and venting. Switching it to having her even require herself to think about solutions and creative answers to problems, really empowering. I have one client who he's since left his job, but I was asked to work with him to help on his emotional intelligence and on his ability to read his employees, meet them where they are, show that he cares authentically, not anything. He wasn't asked to start faking it. And what he learned was his highest and best use was not as a manager or a leader. It was as a sole contributor. And he actually left his job and took a much more fulfilling position because he could not wrap his brain around. He just literally couldn't make the behavioral adaptation to manage his relationships with other people in a more diplomatic and delicate way. It just was not, he could not pull that out. And I've coached over 300 people on emotional intelligence. So there are plenty of things I'm bad at, but I'm pretty skilled at that. And he has some of the lowest emotional intelligence scores I've ever seen. couldn't do it. And not only that, didn't want to do it. And he was this super brainiac scientist, technologist. And he was an instrument being played the wrong way. You know, it was like the trombone instead of the violin. And the minute he went to the violin, to the sole contributor role, his happiness increased substantially, and his throughput and his creativity and productivity increased substantially. So sometimes you have to change, you know, the soil that you're planted in.
Now, how much of this kind of work is mindset work, and how much is tactical?
Wow. I'm not sure I can offer percentages on that, but I would say I work with people a lot on self-mastery. So self-mastery basically just means how you can show up in your optimal performance state, like show up at your best. And that can mean different changes for different people. So it could mean, you know, learning how to, you know, I teach a technique called the back technique. It could be learning how to deal with stress in the moment through a very specific way of breathing. Well, that's tactical. That's very concrete. That's a real boots on the ground type of exercise that can change how you respond and make a huge difference in a certain situation. Other people might need, you know, more, I'll say, you know, higher level or more strategic insights, like how to read their boss's mood, how to gauge a good time to approach, you know, the CEO about a particular something. And I would say, so I don't know that I can give you a percentage, but I would say a third one is there's so much. Yeah, I'm sure you've heard the term, and your listeners have heard the term VUCA, V-U-C-A. It stands for volatile, uncertain, complex, and ambiguous. I sound familiar, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we are all in the middle of managing through. I can't think of one client I've worked with that doesn't have most of those, if not all four of those. You know, they're in the middle of a merger, or they've just done a reorg, or, you know, a new president's come in, whatever. Or they've moved, you know, who knows? They got moved to Texas or something. So how to show up in an optimal performance state in the middle of volatility, uncertainty, complexity, and ambiguity. If I only did that with my clients, that alone would bring them a huge amount of return. So I would say it is both strategic and tactical, and it depends on the situation.
Mm, sounds good. Then, Michelle, how have you applied some of these principles in your own business to achieve the results that that have happened so far? And I'm wondering if you can hold your answer to that question, because this is our bonus question, and we're going to post this inside our Facebook group. So we're going to talk about the principles that you have developed over the years and that you use so well with the clients you serve, and how have they impacted your business. So hold that. And in the meantime, let's talk a little bit about, in your own journey, what have been some of the most transformational kinds of help that you've had along the way?
Oh, my gosh. Well, first of all, thank you for the great question. I've had exemplary leaders, both what to do and what not to do. So fortunately more of the former than the latter. I had a phenomenal leader when I first started out in banking who, you know, he's a West Point guy. And the running joke in my family is that, I tend to think, although I'm absolutely all woman, I tend to think in a very masculine or traditionally male way. And I'm the third son, right? I have two older brothers and grew up with a lot of men around. And so one of the things that became clear to me very early on, so I didn't really go into business. I don't really go through life thinking, oh, I'm a woman versus a man. I'm this, I'm that. I don't really think about it. But one of my most amazing bosses, who the West Point guy, he absolutely took that off the table, you know, 25 years ago, when that was very much on the table and there weren't a lot of women in the room. And so he really made me aware of knowing my audience, channeling my passion, hitting my goals, you know, when to shut up, when to speak, So I really had some good mentoring. I also had some examples of what not to do. I have zero tolerance policy for any kind of mean. And so I experienced, you know, what I would call, you know, not abusive or anything, but just a really mean-spirited boss. So I would say, though, you know, I think about the examples and I learned and I thought, wow, I only want to be like the first guy. I do not want to be like the second guy. So I would say, you know, examples of leaders for me have been very, very powerful. I tend to lean into a lot of goals. I like a lot of accomplishment. I'm a continuous learner. And so for me, learning to channel my energy and be very disciplined and focused was a real gift early on. And that's, of course, I started in corporate America, but I've had my own business now for 21 years. And so that's been invaluable as an entrepreneur, is knowing I can really harness my game, even if it's just me, you know, and my bunny slippers at home. So that gives you a few ideas.
That's great. And, you know, in addition to what you've described, if we get a little more granular, mm-hmm. Who do you know personally who's done a remarkable job at smashing the plateau?
Well, I won't name names, but I have a client who I so admire, and I admire many of my clients. I've coached over 600 leaders now, so I feel like I've seen just about everything, sometimes twice.
Probably way more than twice.
Yeah, I think so. Double digits. But I have tremendous admiration for this executive. I'll call him Bob. And there is nothing he won't be willing to listen to. There is nothing he won't strive for. And he continually asks a lot of his people. But I'm joking, obviously, but they would crawl on glass for him. They are so loyal to him because they know he would do the same for them. And in some cases has. So my thoughts go to Bob when I think about somebody who's smashed plateaus, because he is the opposite of stuck in a rut. So he clings to his values, you know, high quality work, respectful of people, you know, don't ask anyone to do anything he wouldn't be willing to do himself, all those values. But when it comes to being willing to try new techniques and new things, he has one of the most expansive mindsets I've ever seen, and has been, I mean, consistently smashing his plateaus for several years.
Sounds like a great example. And what do we have to look forward to in the near future from you? What's coming up for Michelle?
Oh my gosh. I have about half of a book done on conscious leadership, which is the kind of the follow-on business book to my Get a Life That Doesn't Suck book that came out several years ago. But you know really what it is? I have so many things happening in both my personal and professional life right now that I've made a decision to dedicate my time to my dad, who's ill, and a dear friend, and to my daughter, and to my current 13 coaching clients. And I'm also currently chief of staff for a large financial services company. So I'm actually, I have breakthroughs about every other day. So I'm not at all stagnant, but I am not in a place where I'm launching something new. I'm in a place where I'm excelling and really deepening what I'm already engaged with.
And it sounds like you're probably never bored.
What's that?
Michelle, no way. How can listeners learn more about you and follow you?
I am at michelleinc.com. And anybody can email me at michelle@michelleinc.com.
Sounds great.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, well, Michelle, thank you so much for taking the time to join us today on Smashing the Plateau, particularly when you have a very, very full plate. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. It's my joy. That's my thing. It's a joy.
My guest today has been Michelle DeAngelis, the founder and CEO of Michelle Inc. Thank you again, Michelle, for joining us. Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau. I hope you've enjoyed our discussion today. To get Michelle's answer to my bonus question, join our free Smashing the Plateau community on Facebook, where all the practical tips that our guests share on the show will be there waiting for you to sift through and implement in your own business. Our community focuses on helping you uncover challenges such as how to generate more leads, how to scale your business by hiring the right talent, and how to step out of your comfort zone to leverage new tools like podcasts, video, and social media. Go to smashingtheplateau.com/Facebook to join now. We want you to smash the plateau in business, work, and in life.